Summer is flying by, and if your calendar looks anything like mine, it's packed with plans to squeeze in before the season ends. But more plans mean you need more energy, not more complicated steps in your morning routine. Grüns can help make your morning a little simpler. It's a convenient, comprehensive formula in one delicious daily pack of gummy bears. It isn't a multivitamin, a greens gummy, or a prebiotic. It's all those things, and then some. It's a fraction of the price. You get over 20 bioavailable vitamins and minerals, and the ingredients are backed by over 35,000 research publications. Instead of choking down earthy powders or swallowing a handful of oversized pills, you just open one daily pack of Grüns. Plus, they taste great, so you actually remember to take them every single day. Even better, each pack delivers 6 full grams of prebiotic fiber, which is 3 times the fiber of standard greens powders and equivalent to over 2 cups of broccoli. Save up to 52% off with code HOURS at Grüns.co. That's code HOURS at GRUNS.co.
True crime is full of unanswered questions, but earning your degree doesn't have to be a mystery. That's where Southern New Hampshire University comes in. SNHU offers more than 200 online degree programs with flexibility that puts you in the driver's seat and trusted support to keep you on track, even when life takes an unexpected turn. Find the answers you're searching for at snhu.edu/48hours.
Did you have anything to do with the death of your wife, Corey?
I did not.
2 minutes.
I'm with the CBS affiliate in Quincy, so we've been covering this from day one.
I was a journalist in Quincy for 25 years, and I'm now writing a book on the case.
Saves the touchdown.
Curtis Lovelace was a center on the Quincy High football team.
The offensive line, Kurt Lovelace.
Went to the University of Illinois. He became an All-Big Ten center.
Well, we're just underway.
I think we all understand the concept of the play more than the pass.
He was hired in the Adams County State's Attorney's Office as an assistant state's attorney.
She was a beautiful, blonde-haired, blue-eyed woman, thin, perfect face. Essentially what it was, it's you have like the star football player dating the cheerleader. That's what Corey and Curtis were.
And then they get married and they have these kids.
Everybody thinking he had it all.
Do you have good memories of any of the time together?
I do. There were good times and bad. I mean, it wasn't a perfect marriage.
On Valentine's Day 2006, Curtis Lovelace found his wife, Corey, dead in the bedroom of their home on Kentucky Street in Quincy.
What was your reaction?
Just utter shock, just not knowing what to do.
At what point does it change from being this blissful, you know, storybook relationship to death on Valentine's Day?
I think the volatility, you know, sort of built over time. It did escalate to a point where there was a lot of gossip in the community about him. The case was quickly closed. There was no determination for a cause of death. And Curtis went on with his life.
That's when the Quincy gossip mill got started going. People wanted to know what happened to her.
I was sitting in my newsroom and got the call, and they said, sounds like Curtis Lovelace has been arrested.
Curtis Lovelace was arrested this afternoon. And
Lovelace is accused of suffocating his former wife, Corey Lovelace, in 2000.
We begin tonight with the start of the Curtis Lovelace murder trial.
To not only be called a murderer, but to say that I murdered the mother of my children, it's horrible. This is a prosecution that should have never been brought. There never should have been an indictment.
Breaking news here inside the Adams County Courthouse. Judge Hardwick did just now declare a mistrial.
It's set for retrial, and we plan to retry it.
Here we are again, the beginning of another Lovelace trial, the retrial. We're a year after the first one.
Defendant's first wife, Corey Lovelace, was suffocated.
That will be our medical evidence. You know, in the age of supposed fake news, this is a fake case and there are fake witnesses. No evidence of any homicide.
Jenny, what do you see as the big difference this time around?
Lovelace's second wife, Erica Gomez, as we know, she was banned from this first trial. She's the biggest difference in this case. A lot of people saying that she was the missing puzzle piece to why we're even here to begin with.
Come up here and be sworn.
May 2012 is the first time that he attacked me. He ripped my shirt and he tried to grab me again, and I kept on trying to fight him off.
The children were called down to stop me from calling the police.
They were lies. I told him multiple times that I had nothing to do with Corey's death.
So how do you find yourself in this position?
It's a good question, and it's a question that we've been asking for the last 2.5 years.
The Hulu original series Furious is now streaming on Hulu and Hulu on Disney+. From Liz Merriweather, the Emmy-nominated executive producer of Dying for Sex and The Dropout, comes a gripping psychological thriller. Starring Emmy Rossum as Alice Black, Furious follows a rookie FBI agent on the hunt for Catherine, played by Lola Pettigrew, a mysterious, calculating female serial killer. While Alice upholds justice, Catherine kills for it, terrorizing the rich and powerful men of New York in her pursuit of vengeance. As their twisted game of cat and mouse unfolds, the lines between good and evil begin to blur. With shocking crimes, tangled relationships, and secrets that change everything, Alice discovers there's a thin line between hunter and prey. Watch the Hulu original series, Furious, now streaming on Hulu and Hulu on Disney Plus for bundle subscribers. Terms apply. Summer adds up fast. A trip here, a dinner there, a couple of outdoor concerts. With all the extra expenses this season brings, it's easy to wonder if you're getting the most out of your money. That's why you need to check out Chime. They are completely changing the game with rewarding fee-free banking, meaning no monthly fees, no minimum balance requirements, and absolutely no overdraft fees. My younger self definitely could have benefited from that. It gets better, too. You can get 5% cash back on your Chime card in a category of your choice. I'm talking everyday purchases like gas or groceries, all while building your credit through everyday spending with no credit check required. Plus, your savings grow faster with an interest rate that's 9 times the national average. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free with America's number one choice for banking. Head to chime.com/48hours. That's chime.com/48hours. Sign up now. It only takes a few minutes. Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services and Chime card provided by Chime's bank partners. Qualifying direct deposits required. Terms and limits apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
The way I describe circumstantial evidence is as follows. I like to look at it as pebbles in a mosaic. And you're going to step away from that mosaic. And you know what it's going to say? Murder. The opening statements are about what the evidence is going to show. The state had an opportunity to explain to you what evidence they have that Kurt Lovelace murdered his wife, Corey Lovelace. And they didn't present it. Because there is none.
For Curtis Lovelace and his family, February 14th, 2006, might seem like a long time ago. But for the second time in 2 years, the husband and children of Corey Lovelace are about to relive those difficult days after she died, with yet another murder trial. This time, it's in a different courthouse, in a different city. But first, you need to know how this all started.
It's Friday,
Friday night in Quincy, Illinois. And hundreds have come out for the home team. Local journalist Bob Goff swaps his keyboard for a microphone and moonlights as an announcer.
Your halftime score, Quincy 28.
If you're a local sports star, people are always wanting to know about you.
And at Quincy High in the 80s, there was no bigger star than Blue Devils Hall of Famer Curtis Loveless, both on the field and in the classroom.
Curtis Loveless was a very hardworking kid, smart kid.
The fight in the line eye.
The University of Illinois gave Loveless, number 54, a scholarship to play football. But he wasn't just any player. Loveless, a business administration major, was considered one of the top offensive linemen in the Big Ten, a team captain who led the Fighting Illini to the conference championship his senior year.
He even got a look in free agent camp in the NFL with the Patriots. Had a bad knee injury, which not sure if he would have made it or not, but that certainly didn't help the situation. But being a smart kid, you know, Curtis Loveless already had other goals in mind.
While still in college, Curtis started a long-distance relationship with high school classmate Corey Diedrichson, who was studying communications at the University of Iowa.
She just had a perfect smile.
Marty Diedrichson, Corey's mother, spoke to our CBS affiliate, KHQA.
And she just smiled at everybody, and she just did stuff.
Corey was vibrant, dynamic, a little bit of stubbornness, and she was a pistol, and I loved her for that.
Steve Belko, Beth Dobrisky, and Brett Schrader grew up with Corey and Curtis in Quincy.
Kurt was easygoing. He was a gentleman, fun-loving, intelligent. A gentleman.
Did you think they were well matched?
I did. They looked great together. They had a lot of similarities and they seemed to have fun together.
In 1991, just 1 year after graduation, they were married. Steve was Kurt's best man and Beth was Corey's bridesmaid.
It was one of the best days, you know, in our lives.
They were very happy. The pictures you could see on their faces. It was a magical night.
With Corey by his side, Loveless had grand plans. He attended law school and eventually became an assistant state's attorney in the city they both loved, Quincy.
What did Corey want to do with her life? What were her dreams?
Corey was all about family. She wanted the big family, the happy marriage, being involved in Quincy.
Corey's dream came true in 1993 when their first child, Lindsay, was born.
What are you doing, Lindsay? That's an ugly dog you got there.
And continued with the addition of three sons.
Come
Logan.
On, Logan, say something.
He's so screaming.
Lincoln.
Hey, Lincoln. Smile.
And Larson. Lindsay is now in her 20s.
She was a loving person. She was involved. Headroom mother, PTA, always there at her games, dance recitals, everything. Our number one cheerleader.
Do you have a fondest memory of her?
I always say dancing to ABBA in the kitchen. She always played ABBA and we always sang along and twirling around and it was just special and I still listen because it's everything to me.
And Curtis continued to chase his dreams as well. In 2005, while still at the state's attorney's office, he started his own law firm. And as if he wasn't busy enough, Loveless was elected president of the school board, became a captain in the Illinois National Guard, and an adjunct professor at Quincy University.
Big man on campus, and he always kind of had that air about him.
Was he arrogant?
He became arrogant more and more, yes. There was a little bit of a holier than thou. Maybe you were entitled to this living. I think he lost friends over time because of that.
And the situation at home was changing as well. Curtis's working long hours away from Corey and the kids was taking a toll on their personal life.
They fought at a young age. I thought it was normal. But then growing up later on after she was gone, I realized that it wasn't normal.
Neighbors around the Loveless house here on Kentucky Street say that in the months leading up to her death, they had heard loud and contentious arguments between Corey and Curtis. By many accounts, both were heavy drinkers. And in this small community, it was known that at times there was a tremendous amount of turmoil in their home.
I knew that she wasn't taking care of herself.
Corey's family acknowledges she was suffering with an eating disorder, bulimia.
I was aware of the bulimia, binging and the purging late in the day. Corey was an alcoholic, and unfortunately, so much of alcoholism, all of alcoholism, is not pretty. It's ugly, and it brings out oftentimes the worst in people. And it was something that she struggled with.
You said you drank. Would you describe yourself as an alcoholic?
I do describe myself as an alcoholic, and I stopped drinking.
Was Corey's death the result of her alcohol abuse, or was it murder? It was a question that would go unanswered for almost 8 years, until a rookie detective would take a new look at this old case.
That's when I went to the chief and asked him if I could take a look at it again.
And when you saw the pictures, what was your first reaction?
It did not appear to me that that could have been a natural death.
Packing for summer trips is so much easier when your jewelry can do it all. From the pool to the ocean to dinner, you never have to take off your Jenny Bird pieces. I seriously could have used that on my last trip. And you'll want to wear Jenny Bird pieces on repeat all season because they just make looking polished completely effortless. Their bangles and anklets are absolute game changers. You can stack them high, go for a swim, hop in the shower, and never worry about taking them off. From statement hoops to sleek everyday bracelets, their collection has something tailored for every mood and summer vibe. So don't be surprised if someone stops to ask where you found such chic pieces. And Jenny Bird pieces look and feel far more expensive than they are. So you get high-quality jewelry without the splurge. To top it off, they just launched a new fine collection with stunning diamond pieces that are totally distinct. You can get 10% off your first order with Jenny Bird by visiting jenny-bird.com and using code HELLOJB at checkout.
I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is chat missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
I was at the office just reading old case files, and the Loveless case popped into my head.
In 2014, Adam Gibson, as a newly promoted detective, decided to take a look at a file of a case he'd always been curious about, the death of Corey Loveless 8 years earlier, a death ruled as undetermined.
After seeing the photos, that's when I went to the chief and asked him if I could take a look at it again.
The photos of Corey's body show her arms slightly elevated above her chest.
It didn't really make sense, and there was no real explanation for him.
In reopening the case, Gibson first consulted Adams County Coroner James Keller, who was the deputy coroner in 2006, when he was called to the Loveless house the morning of February 14th.
Upon entering the bedroom, I noticed the female lying on the bed on her back with her hands kind of in an upright position. A body always tells a story the way you find them.
What is the story that Corey's body was telling you?
That she had passed earlier that prior evening or day.
Gibson contacted Dr. Jane Turner, an assistant medical examiner in St. Louis, who agreed with Keller's assessment that Corey's body had stiffened, a condition called rigor mortis, which only happens over an extended period of time.
In my report, I stated 10 to 12 hours. Rigor mortis develops maximally at 12 hours.
And it was the position of Corey's arms that led Dr. Turner to the theory that Corey had been suffocated.
What did you determine would have caused the suffocation?
Well, with the position of the hands, it suggests that there was an object between her hands and her body. And it appears that there's a pillow missing. So I suppose that a pillow was used to suffocate her.
Turner theorized that the pillow had not been removed until much later,
her hands,
after Corey's arms had frozen around it, that her dead body had laid in bed all night. Gibson and Turner's theory of murder was a very different account than the one Curtis Lovelace gave police. Curtis says it all started the weekend before Valentine's Day.
She had become ill. She appeared to have the flu.
Curtis insists Corey was very much alive that morning.
The vivid memory is her coming down. One of the kids needed a pair of pants. She wasn't feeling any better, and we made the decision that I would take the kids to school.
4-year-old Larson stayed home while Curtis dropped off the other kids. Larson would later tell police that on that morning, he couldn't wake mommy up. Frightened, he waited at the top of the stairs for his dad. By 9 a.m., Curtis returned, and that's when he found Corey dead in their bed.
What was your reaction?
Just utter shock. I'm not even sure how I reacted. I know what I did.
Oddly, Curtis did not react by calling 911.
What I saw was someone who didn't need help. I just saw my wife who had passed away.
Lovelace says at that moment, his main concern was to get his youngest child, Larson, out of the house. At trial, Corey's mother, Marty, testifies that Curtis brought him over to her house, which was just around the corner.
Sometime after 9, Curtis knocks on the door, and he asked if I would watch Larson. So I take Larson, and he turns and he said, oh, and by the way, Corey's dead.
And then what did Mr. Lovelace do?
He turned to leave. And I'm trying to think. I think I remember the fact that on the way I said I want to go, and he said everything's been taken care of, and he left.
Did he stay there and explain to you what he knew?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Did you have anything to do with the death of your wife, Corey?
I did not.
But Detective Gibson wasn't buying it. His investigation would lead to an indictment.
Curtis Lovelace was arrested this afternoon in connection
and
with...
Curtis Lovelace's first trial, 10 years after his wife's death.
Following breaking news outside of the Adams County Courthouse where a mistrial has been declared.
The jury deadlocked, unable to decide if Corey was murdered.
How does it feel to be released finally?
Curtis Lovelace was out of jail. But for how long? 1 year later, a new trial.
Very dramatic day today here in the Sangamon County
Courthouse. A new jury, but the same question. Did Corey die from alcohol abuse or something more sinister?
Please rise. Good to see you, folks.
The second trial would be the culmination of events that began 11 years ago that Valentine's Day morning.
She was laying in the bed and her arms were drawn up by her chest.
The grim details of that morning would be embedded in the minds of those who were there. EMT Cole Miller was among the first on the scene.
I went in there to check for signs of life and checked her carotid pulse in her neck and then checked her wrist and saw that it was cold and stiff.
I'm Jeff Baird.
Baird was the lead detective in the case in 2006.
And you determined that this investigation should be closed because there was no evidence of fire.
That is what we determined.
Defense attorney John Lovey asks him to describe the scene.
Did you find anything whatsoever that seemed consistent with any kind of struggle?
No.
Did you find any evidence of a homicide?
No.
No signs of homicide because the cause of death was ruled undetermined.
Were you surprised she came back with undetermined?
I think it was unexpected. I was expecting to see a death from natural causes related to a health condition.
Baird also didn't expect to see, on the day he discovered Corey, the condition of her hands and arms.
Her arms were up in an unnatural position. Her hands and arms, from the elbow to the hands, were leaning or resting against her abdomen and appear to be up.
It is this strange position of Corey's arms that would become a critical and controversial piece of this case.
There was mild rigor in one of her arms and moderate rigor in the other. Rigor was also forming in her legs.
Let's be real clear. Were her arms still pliable at 10:50?
Yes.
Tell the jury what pliable means.
We could move them.
The defense argues if Corey's arms were pliable, it would indicate she could have died that morning. And that is in direct contrast to James Keller's testimony.
The body was in a full state of rigor mortis.
However long Corey Lovelace had been dead, to Keller, it certainly appeared that medical rigor mortis had set in.
The state of rigor mortis to get in that position, generally, the rule of thumb of anywhere from 8 to 12 hours.
Did it make any sense to you that they were saying it was that morning?
It did not. It just didn't seem to add up.
2 days after Corey's death, her body was cremated, and the case was closed. A 38-year-old woman was suddenly dead for seemingly no apparent reason.
We assume that her eating disorder, that her alcoholism somehow caused her death, and whether it was checked undetermined or natural death really wasn't something that we were concerned about.
Life went on. 6 months later, Lovelace started dating Erica Gomez, who he later married. Gomez would become an explosive figure in his second trial.
His parents knew that he was abusive. That's why they came and got him. His parents probably knew that he killed his first wife.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 40% off site-wide, plus get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
After his wife Corey mysteriously passed away in 2006, it took Curtis Lovelace less than 6 months to find love again, this time with one of his students at Quincy University, Erica Gomez.
I remember my dad coming up to me and saying, "Hey, just so you know, I've been seeing this woman."
And what was your reaction?
I was shocked, but couldn't process it at the same time because what 12-year-old's going to process a parent dating, especially so quickly after the loss?
And looking back, it was, I think, properly characterized as a rebound relationship. I regret starting the relationship.
Were you lonely?
Absolutely.
2 years later, Loveless and Gomez were married.
What was your relationship like with Erica?
Not good at all. For some reason, there was some hatred towards my mom. Like, she was public enemy number one. So I would tell her to stop. Like, it's not fair. And then I would get punished for that.
By whom?
By Erica. And what scared me more was that my dad would sit there and watch it.
It didn't take long for things to go from bad to much worse.
It was Christmas Eve, and my mom's side of the family invited all of us to come for family dinner. Christmas was my mom's favorite holiday. And I was crying because I missed her and I wanted her there. And all of a sudden, Erica walks in and says, "We're leaving now." So I get 3 to 5 minutes to calm down, get ready, go to walk out the door, find out that my dad, Erica, the boys had left. My family was not happy with them leaving me, and that set off a bomb.
A bomb that blew her family apart.
It blew up to the point where when I returned home that evening, Ms. Gomez was throwing Lindsay's stuff out of the house.
I closed her in the street. My room is completely trashed. I knew my life was never going to be normal ever again.
And that's when you moved in with your mom's mom.
Yeah.
Loveless and Gomez divorced in 2013.
I decided that I'd made a poor decision and tried to end that relationship as peacefully and as amicably as possible. Unfortunately, it just didn't end as peacefully and amicably as it should have.
On the stand in front of the jury, Erica gave the courtroom a sample of her explosive personality.
He threatened me. He controlled me. He is physically abusive to me.
Hurling a variety of accusations against Loveless.
And I've watched him get rid of evidence. I've watched him use his children to get rid of evidence. He used my social security number to try and steal money out of my account. He sexually assaulted me.
Did you have any concern that they would buy into what she was saying?
I didn't have that concern because I knew they were lies.
He was poisoning me. My hair was falling out. There were white lines on my fingers. I was extremely sick. I had to.
You were aware of this, Gomez, that you were not supposed to mention that because there was no evidence to support it.
While Gomez was a witness for the prosecution, ultimately her testimony may have done more for the defense.
I had a hard time believing that the prosecution actually wanted to put her on the stand.
Also in the courtroom, Curtis Loveless's third wife, Christine, who, like Corey, Curtis knew from Quincy High. They were married in 2013, just months after his divorce from Gomez.
The behavior was so outlandish. The accusations were so outlandish. The fake tears.
The children were called down to stop me from calling the police.
So you felt that the jury would have zero credibility with
it? Absolutely.
On the stand for the prosecution, Detective Adam Gibson would have to defend his credibility and explain just how he found an expert to support his belief that Corey was murdered.
It's been implied that you did some doctor shopping.
Yes.
Do you think that's what you did?
Absolutely not.
Remember, Dr. Jane Turner sided with Detective Gibson. After studying the evidence, Turner believed that Corey had died the night before police arrived.
Given the circumstances of the state in which her body was found and the altered scene, that it appears that she did die of a homicide from suffocation.
A logical conclusion, except for the fact that when questioned by Quincy police, the Loveless children, except Larson, said they saw their mother alive on the stairs before going off to school the morning Gibson believed Corey was already dead.
When Adam Gibson came to speak to you, and he asked you, do you remember? You told him that you did. You remembered seeing her that morning.
And you came to believe that the children were wrong, correct?
I didn't say they were wrong. I don't know what they saw.
And maybe neither did they.
I had had a story in my head of I saw her sitting on the stairs, waving to us, goodbye, I love you, left. And I always said, oh, it was great, I got to say I love you.
Do you remember seeing your mother that Valentine's Day morning?
It's a black hole.
You don't know?
No.
How certain are you now that Curtis Loveless murdered his wife, Corey?
I'm 100% certain.
But defense attorney John Lobey was about to challenge everything Detective Adam Gibson believed about the death of Corey Loveless.
Adam Gibson decided to create a crime where one didn't exist.
You knew that the case had been closed because nobody found sufficient evidence of a homicide, correct?
I read that it was closed, yes.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Prosecutor Ed Parkinson brings in three forensic pathologists to prove Detective Gibson's theory that Corey was murdered. From world-renowned doctor Werner Spitz.
Miss Lovelace died, in my view, of suffocation.
To Dr. Scott Denton, the pathologist first consulted when the case was reopened.
I would determine her cause of death to be suffocation.
And finally, to Dr. Jane Turner, the out-of-state expert who also believes Corey was suffocated. Defense attorney Lobey tries to discredit Turner, saying she never saw Corey's body, and her opinion that Corey's body was in full rigor mortis conflicts with the first responders on the scene.
For you to be right, Jeff Baird has to be wrong about his assessment, correct? That's correct, right?
Yes.
For you to be right, paramedic Ballard has to be wrong about his assessment that the arms were still pliable, correct?
Yes.
If Corey Loveless's body was pliable, as the defense claims, full rigor mortis had not set in, and she did not die the night before. When Coroner Keller is cross-examined, Lobey belittles his role in the case.
You're at the scene of Corey's death for all of 5 minutes, correct, sir?
Probably, yes, sir.
Lobey comes down hardest on Detective Gibson.
You continued to pursue Mr. Lovelace, all right, because you had already decided that this man must be guilty.
No.
He grills Gibson about rigor mortis.
At what point did you learn that you were wrong, that the body was in full rigor at the scene?
I don't know to this day that I'm wrong.
I'm going to show you a copy.
Then a new twist. Lovey accuses Gibson of withholding evidence, emails that never made it into the first trial.
You did delete all your emails in January 2015, did you not?
Yes.
The defense was able to recover those emails. Lobey reads one email from a pathologist who told Gibson he could never make a good murder case since Corey's death had originally been ruled undetermined.
That is more than reasonable doubt in any reasonable person's mind. All right, this email should have been turned over, right?
I believe so. It should, yes.
You didn't turn it over, did you?
I did not.
But Gibson testified that he never engaged in any intentional wrongdoing.
Have you ever intentionally deleted or modified emails to manipulate an investigation?
No.
And just that was all documented knowledge.
Lovey calls to the stand his own noted pathologist, Dr. William Oliver, who was on the O.J. Simpson case. Oliver had no doubt how Corey died.
It is my opinion that she died of the complication of alcohol withdrawal known as acute fatty liver.
After a battle of the experts, the defense gambles that the most believable witness might be the accused killer himself.
As I approached the bed, I could see her hands. I could see her eyes were open, and she was very pale, and there was nothing there. Corey was dead. That's what I saw. I told him multiple times that I had nothing to do with Corey's death.
Of course, being accused of a cold-blooded murder of your wife, that reduces your liability factor, correct?
A little bit.
Do you feel like everything you said, every decision you made, is now being picked over and twisted unfairly?
We've been doing this for 2.5 years.
And it was remembering the time right after Corey died that Curtis became most emotional.
One of our high school classmates, who was a pastor, he's the one that delivered the eulogy. I wrote it, but I couldn't deliver it.
All three loveless boys continued to support their father. The two oldest testified they saw their mother that Valentine's morning.
I remember getting ready for school, walking back and forth, getting stuff done, sitting on the stairs with my mother, and heading out the door.
How confident are you, though, from your memory itself that you saw your mother alive? 100%. Was this the last time you ever saw your mother alive?
Yes.
Their sister, Lindsay, was not called to testify by either side. As the trial goes to final arguments...
Beyond a reasonable doubt, ladies and gentlemen, is the standard. Those words don't have a dictionary definition. You're all going to have to apply your life experiences. Beyond a reasonable doubt. Doesn't mean probably, doesn't mean maybe. Beyond a reasonable doubt.
What's that mean? Well, because really what the case is about is that lady, Corey. That's who the case is about. She died at age 38 because a 6'4" former football player standing over her muffled her and forgot to take the pillow away.
The question is whether any jury can sort out what exactly happened that Valentine's Day morning.
Do you think we'll ever know what happened with your mom?
No. If a verdict comes out this round, it comes out, I don't think we'll ever fully know.
Hear Curtis Loveless testify on the shock of getting arrested at 48hours.com.
All murder trials have their clashes between the prosecution and defense.
I would like to know who's coming, like you bastards.
But the spats between Ed Parkinson and John Lovey
Morning.
Were more contentious.
I've objected to his antics. I told him to shut up. I don't like him.
After 7 days of testimony in Curtis Loveless's second murder trial, the jury continues hearing closing arguments.
So here we are. What is the state showing? Corey died from suffocation, and he did it.
Prosecutor David Robinson.
He had a motive. She was an alcoholic. She yelled at him. She yelled at the kids. And that night, he had enough. The state asked you to find Curtis Lovell as guilty of murder beyond reasonable doubt. There is no evidence in this case that this woman was smothered. She died a natural death. They have no murder weapon. They have no forensic evidence. I mean, he went out trying to prove a case where there was no crime.
This is rebuttal. I did these for you. I'm not going to take long. Because he committed a stupid crime. This Mr. Smart man here. And you can do your job now, because the only thing that makes sense here is that she was suffocating.
And with that, the jury began their deliberations.
As this case is stated in these instructions, and it's your duty to follow all of them.
I believe in everything we did. Every step that we took, it was a search for the truth.
Then, in little more than 2 hours, all parties were called back to the courthouse. Unlike in the first trial, this time the jury had reached a verdict.
We were prepared in our minds, in our heart, for whatever the verdict was.
So this time, at least you know there's going to be an answer.
We know there's going to be an answer, but still, knowing that 12 people have our fate and our future and our children's future in their hands is scary.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Curtis T. Lovelace, not guilty. Signed by the foreperson and 11 jurors.
Thank you. Would anybody like the jury to come?
No, yeah. All right.
More than 10 years after Corey died, and two trials accusing him for the murder of his wife, Curtis Lovelace, surrounded by his three sons, walks out of the courtroom a free man.
We put our trust in God, and we put our trust in the legal system, and we weren't let down. And so it's a great day for our family, a great day for all of our friends, and we're just thankful.
Kurt had absolutely nothing to do with his wife's death, and the jury saw that.
Prosecutor Ed Parkinson is clearly upset by the quick decision.
Disappointed, but the jury has spoken, so that's the end of it.
But just days after the verdict, Curtis Lovelace told 48 Hours that he and Christine still have a lot of questions about Detective Adam Gibson's investigation.
Clearly, I don't appreciate what he's done to me and my family. And whatever happens with Adam Gibson happens with Adam Gibson. There's truth, and I believe the truth will come out.
You intend to pursue how and why this all happened?
I think those are questions we want answered.
The family remains deeply divided by the legal saga now behind them. Curtis, Christine, and the three boys have not spoken to Lindsay since the day Curtis was arrested in 2014.
I don't think by our choice. We were advised not to engage in a relationship with people who were possibly against Kurt.
So do you see a day when
we hope so.
Everyone
we talk about
is together?
It. We talk about it often.
Is that on the docket of things to do?
You know, I think we'd all like to see reconciliation. I'm just not sure how that happens. I'm sure it's going to be difficult.
For now, Lindsay says she is working to move forward with her own life, inspired by her mother's memory.
My mom was a beautiful person. She touched so many people. She was passionate. But that's the kind of person she was, and that's the kind of person I try to be.
Christine Lovelace adopted Curtis's three sons. Lindsay was already 18 years old. Curtis Lovelace filed a federal civil rights lawsuit against Quincy police and Adams County officials. He claims he was denied due process and constitutional rights and was the subject of malicious prosecution.
I've realized lately that the products I use every single morning genuinely affect how I feel for the rest of the day. If something feels heavy, greasy, overly makeup-y, or complicated, I just stop reaching for it. That's why I've been loving Primally Pure's new Sun Serum Tinted SPF. It gives mineral SPF 30 protection and enough coverage to make my skin look even and healthy. But it still looks like my skin. It has this really fresh, lived-in glow. And their lip and cheek tint has become one of those products I keep throwing on throughout the day because it makes me look instantly more awake and put together in like 10 seconds. The whole vibe just feels very effortless. Skin first, clean girl beauty. Products that enhance your skin. If you've been wanting your routine to feel lighter, simpler, and more natural this summer, definitely check out Primally Pure's Sun Serum and Lip and Cheek Tints.